As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, I'm coming to you today, and we have had this discussion before, and I'm going to add some more to the table about the discussion I want to speak about, because when I look for an opportunity to pick a topic, this one became easy for me to select. Because we always talk about our kids being our most valuable commodity. And when we spend so much time talking about young people and how important they are to us, look like as a society, we would equally try to do whatever we could to protect them. But we have an organization called NRA, that has decided for our country that there's nothing more important than gun ownership. And so I wanted today to share some statistics with you. And before I share these statistics with you, I want to remind you that our government wanted to spend millions and millions and millions on a virus that they suggested was going to attack our country, and that we were so frightful of this virus that we were prepared to do all we could in order to save lives. And at one point when the virus had only possibly infected two people, we went into panic mode. And we were so panicked by this virus that we had athletes talking about not going to compete in the Olympics, something they had committed themselves to for a lifetime. But they were so fearful of this virus and these mosquitoes, they contemplated not participating. And when I make this comparison between how we get all bent out of shape about drug infestation, how we get all upset about the contraction of a virus that can be transmitted by a mosquito, but yet we seem to be just unable to grasp the amount of violence that happens in our country on a daily basis. And before we get started, I want to share with you that a 10-year-old was chasing his brother with a rifle that the magazine had been taken out of the rifle. Now, I don't know if the kids took the magazine out of the rifle. And those of you who may not understand about weapons, because I don't have a vast knowledge about weapons myself either, but the magazine is the clip that holds the bullets that you put in at the bottom of the rifle so the rifle can continue to shoot, because every bullet is after being fired, the next bullet comes up and goes into to the chamber. Well, the clip or the magazine had been taken out of the rifle, but the children were unaware that there was a bullet in the chamber. And whoever, the children or adult, whoever who made this gun available, did not check the chamber. And consequently, this young man killed this 10-year-old killed his 14-year-old brother. Now, the other way, the 14-year-old shot the 10-year-old. So that kind of jumped out at me. And then I went searching for some statistics. 1,300 children are killed by gun violence each year. 1,300. Another statistic says 100,000 Americans are shot, murdered, wounded by gun violence every year. 100,000 Americans are either shot or shot. They may live and they are died, but 100,000 are involved in some type of gun violence. That includes suicide, attempted suicide, wounded, or murdered. 100,000. 30,000 Americans, 30,000 plus Americans are killed every year. I'm trying to understand, when we go mad about a mosquito and one or two people catching the virus, and I'm not saying the name because I don't remember the name of Zikara. Cheryl, do you remember the name of that virus?
No, I don't. Good afternoon, everybody. And I missed everybody yesterday. I'm sorry. No, I don't. I guess
Kathy,
as I'm listening,
do you know the name?
And more.
No, I'm
Zika
sorry,
virus.
I don't either.
Zika. Okay, Z came up with the Zika virus. Here it is. We have a virus that had not reached America, and we had already started saving or putting aside money to make sure this Zika virus did not become a situation that could go viral in our country. But yet, we have an issue that is already viral, and we don't seek to do anything about it. We don't seek to put it together any kind of national plan to reduce gun violence. We just continue to allow the NRA to dictate to us that we have the right to bear arms. And if more of us would carry weapons, then we would be even safer. So who is supposed to be dictating policy to us as a nation as we recognize or see our children dying at a rate of 1,300 kids are killed each year and over 100,000 Americans are shot each year, either by suicide or attempted suicide or murder? I mean, at what point do we decide that we have an issue that needs to be dealt with and be honest about it instead of letting people dictate to us otherwise. And I would go so far as to say, and I haven't seen it, but I could almost say that almost 70% of Americans or more do not have access to a gun on a personal basis. We implement laws that suggest that if a parent allows a child to get to a gun and they kill themselves, then we can charge the parent. But yet we don't want to put any restrictions on gun ownership at all. At what point do we wake up, Cheryl, and recognize that if we get so concerned about a mosquito and him possibly affecting people, why don't we do something about the fact that gun violence affects us each and every year?
You know, I ask myself the same question, too, which is a good question. And I guess I really don't know where to begin with how we can change. And I know a lot of people have tried to change the laws, but it's more gun owners. Seems as though more accidents that happen, more people want to, you know, more people are purchasing guns. And different people are purchasing guns for different reasons, which I do understand. But they're not taking the safety precautions. So I don't know how can we make it where the safety precautions are taken with those who own guns. Because, I mean, you can't stop people from owning guns because some people, like I said, own guns for different reasons. So it's really with the individuals how we see. And in this case, it seems as though the parents or the gun owners were so lax with the upkeep of the gun. So I guess it's with the gun owners and how we can put stipulations on the gun owners and make them more accountable. And I know that we've fought and tried to change laws, but it seems though it's a struggle there. And here again, with the things that we talk about, it's the human life. It does not seem as a big deal as other issues. Issues seem to take place over the human lives in so many different cases. And why that is, I don't know, because I ask myself, you know, the same question that you're asking me. So maybe somebody else have a different answer and we can get maybe a more clearer understanding.
Well, let me just say to you that I am a math major, and I say that a lot because I'm proud of being a math major, and I hadn't done a lot of math, especially in the last 2 years. But there's something about math that just you can't lie about it. And there is a statement related to guns, and it's been calculated. More people will die at the hands of their relatives than they will ever die at the hands of a perpetrator. So what happens is that there are more accidents and more suicides related to the guns that people keep in their homes than is ever related to a perpetrator coming into their house and they're killing a stranger. So we kill our relatives accidentally or on purpose with the guns that we purchase more than we killed any robbers. So, how can we justify owning a weapon supposedly for our safety, but yet more of our relatives and are accidentally killed by the gun that we purchased? How can you justify the ownership then?
First of all, let me say hello and welcome back, Ms. Cheryl. You was missed. And, Jane, thank you again for a great topic. I think the best way to understand what it is that we're dealing with is to understand the American Constitution. And the American Constitution to America is the Holy Grail. It's the Bible for America. And in the Constitution, it's written in blood, the right to bear arms. And, you know, when a candidate runs with common sense, tackle this issue, the first thing they do, and I'm not going to call any side, the first thing they do is run to their base, to the base of those that believe in the right to bear arms at all costs. I have one firearm, and that firearm stays at the house all the time. It's up it's somewhere where my children can't get it, and they don't know where it is, and things like that. They, the other side, find it necessary to have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guns. They even have the ability to automate the supposedly semi-automatic weapon. All you got to do is buy a couple of parts, shave off something with a file, and it's fully automatic, the pistol. So it's been said, I've heard it said that they have a love affair with firearms at all costs. And so, you know, when Hillary ran and she was the person with common sense I'm speaking of, the first thing, the rebuttal they had, oh, they're trying to take our weapons. They're trying to take your guns. They're trying to take your guns. And that was enough to escalate the situation in the uproar where she was ousted out. Any other conspiracy that they could tag her with, they did. And now you have who you have. Thank you, James.
Kathy, you know, we've tried to tackle this before, and again, when I read the story, I'm just thinking, why are people so insistent on having weapons around their most precious children, and that no good, I mean, once this is done to this family, is there any possible way to recover for the little boy who don't shot his 10-year-old brother, for a parent who purchased the gun for whatever reason to be in their home, and now their child is no longer with them? You know, at what point do you say we are losing too many lives to this continuous gun violence perpetrated not only on others but on ourselves?
Good afternoon again. And, James, I also don't have an answer for anything that you just asked, because there's no weapons in my house, and I truly am heartfelt about what happened to this family and all the other families that lose their children because of these type of incidents. I like everything that Dee said. So, I mean, what he brought out about the gun laws and how they do it, I think that's the best answer that's going. I have no type of information about it, so I could not even talk about it or comment on it. Sorry.
It is amazing to me that Florida, amongst all the craziness we have, we implemented a law that says when a child is killed by a weapon that has been purchased or owned by an adult, and it is determined that that adult was negligent, that adult can be held criminally accountable for the death of that child. And so here we are in a situation where, again, 13,000 children are killed each year, and we are worried about a mosquito but we don't worry about these children. Joyce, what are your thoughts? And the majority of us don't have weapons. And, you know, so I'm concerned that the majority of Americans don't see a need to rise up against the NRA and start putting in place laws that will protect Americans. I find it even more egregious that 100,000 people will know the feeling of a bullet entering their body every year. How can we accept that?
Good afternoon, everybody. Well, what I think as far as the Zika disease, that's environmental, which means it was an airborne type of illness, which is still into play, and particularly in certain areas. And if I'm not mistaken, Florida is one of those triggers, those targeted areas, as well as Arizona and Texas, in the areas where they do have a lot of water, per se. That's an environmental issue. I thought it is separate from a person of a homeowner who has a gun inside their home. I don't think it is the responsibility of the government to tell a person how to handle that gun inside their home. I think that the homeowner who owns a gun, who have small kids, should have common sense to sit down, talk to them about what a weapon is, the responsibility of a weapon. So that's how I look at that. On the flip side of that, I do feel that there should be gun control as to who is allowed to purchase a gun, who's allowed to carry a gun, and what regulations and restrictions should be placed in obtaining a gun. I think that's where Hillary was trying to go, that this NRA is definitely fighting, and they're trying to say that they're violating your rights, but that is not the case. And you're going to always have a kickback on that, because mostly all the people in Congress, they support the NRA. So that's a hard issue to fight. But I think the environmental Zika, it's a whole different issue that should be looked on an environmental situation, because that could wipe out a lot of people if that did not get under control, that disease per se. That's my take on it. Thank you.
And Joyce, I understand the need to be concerned, but I'm saying to you, this Zika virus stuff has only been with us the last 2 or 3 years. But we've been dealing with 100,000 people being shot and 30,000 people being killed and 13,000 children being killed a year for years and years and years without any desire to do anything nationally. I'm saying to you that if you're going to be concerned about possible deaths, why not be concerned about actual death? Andre, I mean, is that being naive that you can look to protect possible death by the Zika virus but not be willing to do anything about actual deaths that occur each and every year?
Well, wonderful Wednesday to everyone, and the comments that have been stated all are valid. And let me just piggyback on what Joy said. When you think about something that can be spread airborne and can be spread as quickly airborne, and it is a deadly disease, it is. And that's the reason why the government quickly put money behind it to prevent it, because you can wipe out thousands of people with airborne. I mean, because when you talk about the mosquito, we understand a little bit about science. You know, it goes from place to place, and it's a carrier, so that's where the impact come in, and that's the reason why. I do understand your frustration of the unnecessary killings related to guns, and it's not a Republican issue, it's not a Democrat issue, because like you said, it's been there for years. where the Democrats was, you know, in the majority, and then now even when the Republicans are in the majority. So it's not about a party. You ask what we can do about it. It's the legislative body that makes the rules and regulations of the requirements associated with handguns. And you're right, an agency, a lobbyist of the NRA is just so large and powerful. It's not until we continue to speak up and demand that it change, because I really thought it was going to change when one of them, when the senator, that female senator and her husband is an astronaut.
Right.
I really thought that would change, because a lot of times it's when something happens to your own or someone that's close to you, that's when you have the tendency to take an extra step because it impacts you dearly. And then here recently when someone got in and asked when the Republicans was practicing for the baseball game and killed, I thought it would change then. But it, you know, it was an issue in the forefront for a moment, and then people went back to their comfort zone. So in reality, my answer to your question, James, people have become complacent, and our voices are not strong enough or loud enough to state that we demand this and this is how it's going to be held. So that's the reason why year after year, you're right, it's known deaths. And your statistics, if they're correct, I'm just going by what I heard you say, I haven't looked it up. But if the majority of the people don't own guns, obviously it's not, that's not the problem. The problem is those that do have weapons, it's the type of degree of weapons that they have and the number of weapons that they have. Because I don't see where a homeowner would say that I'm trying to protect my home with a semi-automatic. You know, that's just not the right rationale. I can understand having something in order to protect your home when you're in threat. But what level? It's just like you said many a times in the correctional industry, there's different levels of responses to when people are defiant of the law. So I think it's complacency and the fact that we're not just demanding it. And so the NRA and strong organizations like that are still in control.
And, you know, when Barack Obama put the vice president in charge of trying to make to create a national agenda related to guns, they required it, and the NRA refused to allow any substantive legislation to come out. But the fact is that we know there's going to be some kind of violence take place year after year. We'll get all stirred up, but we know it's going to come, it's going to happen. We know that our schools are in jeopardy, and I'm not necessarily suggesting that we just take everybody's guns, but I mean, we come up with these stupid things. In the state of Florida, they were talking about allowing teachers to carry guns, and then they talk about, you know, we, you know, more people carry guns. And I'm saying that it doesn't even make common sense for all of us to have a gun, because when a, if a policeman is making mistakes when fewer people have them, what kind of mistakes are they going to make when they come on the scene and everybody got a gun pulled out? And I was here in Florida. I'm not sure if I shared this story with you before. We had a police officer at a football game. The police officers were kind of trying to put a stop to underage drinking. So a policeman came on the scene where the students were drinking, and he tried to arrest somebody. The person fought back, and he pulled out his weapon. When another officer came on the scene and saw the policeman, undercover policeman with his weapon out, he shot the police officer. And so it is just the more guns you have, the more accidents you're going to have, and you are just continuing to increase the number of deaths by accident, because everybody is not going to walk on the scene and know what's going on when they come up late. And then, again, we have these accidents with our children. So, Cheryl, at what point do we recognize that just having a weapon in and of itself is not the way to deal with all situations?
You know, I think that goes back to the individual. You know, we all have common sense, but we all don't use it. And I think when you're not using common sense, that's where you find that people are using weapons or having them at their disposal or having them where they're not secure. And so it's reaching the individuals. I mean, it's not, you know, we don't hear about the amount that have guns and that have them in a safe place. And I haven't read any statistics on that. You know, we constantly hear about the ones that don't put them up, that have them accessible to the children, or have them accessible that they use it in a heat of an argument, or they have it at their disposal to take out their frustration on someone else. So it all goes back to the individual. It's using common sense. And, I mean, you know, we know that we can't do anything and not pay the price if we tackle a situation using violence and gun it being that violence. So I can't say that that it is other than, you know, individuals. Now, how can we control individuals? We can't. We can continue to put out the message. We can continue to hope that they see things that are going on and use a different avenue as far as dealing with their situation. But some people just won't hear the message at all, no matter how much the message is put out there. So that's when I say that, you know, we all have common sense, but we all just don't use it.
All right, we're at our first 30-minute break. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Just a thought, James T. DeShay. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. DeShay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshay2.com. That's jamesddeshay, the number 2.com. Just a Thought by James T. DeShay. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit WealthDaddySystem.com. That's www.WealthDaddySystem.com. WealthDaddySystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears, and you'll reach your dreams.
Dee, I'm glad you got back in here because I wanted to ask you, and I'm going to ask everybody else as well. Recently, they talked about adding another position to NASA, and this position at NASA was going to be how to protect ourselves from aliens who we don't know even if they exist or not. But this person is going to be paid up to $200,000 for a concern that might be happen, that there might be aliens or might be some kind of being that may attack us. And so we need somebody whose job it is to concern themselves with our safety. But yet we don't implement those same kind of dollars to concerns that we legitimately have each and every day. So how is it we can be so concerned about what's in space and our need to reach Mars and spending millions and billions of dollars on space exploration, but yet don't want to save the lives of our people who die every day?
Well, James, I tell you, you asked a universal question. I don't know how no other way to put that. Let me say, first of all, that they've already made contact, and they do exist, and they know it. They just, the time is not right for them to bring it to the forefront. In my channels, I've heard that they thought that the situation was going to be right before Obama left office for them to let that be known, but things didn't turn out the way they thought it would, so they're going to keep it under wraps. that's a whole nother subject. Okay. No, we've talked about this before, and we've talked about the responsibility of the gun owner and the mindset of the gun owner. And the evaluation of people that buy guns. There need to be a stricter evaluation on people that buy guns. And for why they're not doing that, I am very perplexed about that. But I think that's your answer right there. You know, I want to challenge everybody to go on YouTube and look at gun errors or gun mistakes. Or it's actually called gun fails. It's F-A-I-L-S. Gun fails. And you'll see how people misuse guns, how they mishandle guns. They really don't understand the fact that, yes, there's one in the chamber, and you really have to unload a gun properly before you pass it. They play with guns downstairs while the mama's upstairs, and they shoot themselves in the foot and all kind of crazy stuff. And so, but the mental evaluation is the missing link, I think, in all of this. Thank you, James.
Well, I just, you know, I'm sitting here in amazement how we do all this preparation for what can happen, but don't do anything about what is happening. And, you know, Joyce, I understand what you're saying when you say we have these mosquitoes and it's airborne, and anybody who steps out there can possibly be affected. And in most cases, the people who are affected, who they were the extreme concern, were people, women who were pregnant, because they were affecting their babies. But here we're talking about what affects us all. It affects you because these people can be your sisters, your brothers, your aunts, your uncles. And we don't seem to want to develop any serious national consequences. It's still handled at the local level, and it's not being nothing substantive is being done or has been done over the years that we've been alive. So do we just continue to go in the same direction? We say we are civilized. What is it that makes people civilized is that they learn to solve problems and implement solutions.
That's true. But I really do think that the government is really slow on moving, on changing, in particular when you have a major group that is very forceful and very powerful that has more control. So when that is in place, what we have to do is think more smarter. Like I said, we need to teach the people who do have guns in their environment, within their home, what to do, and that a gun is a weapon. What a gun is used for and the purpose of that gun. I grew up with a gun in our home. We knew not to touch it. Everybody knew where the gun was. But you gotta teach, and that's a part of teaching. Do we expect, my question to you, that the government to come inside our home to tell our kids how to use that gun, or what to do to tell us how to teach our kids how to use a gun, when we know what a gun is and the damage that it can do, and what we should be telling our kids, and particularly where it should be put up in a safe place? You know, some things that I think that we shouldn't even hold, even though that the government is not working in our behalf as far as gun control, but some of the things that happens within our home and our environment is something that what we can do that should have no play for government to come in and dictate, because that would be dictating within our household as to what should and how things should be done. I think we should have common sense enough to know the severity of a gun when that trigger is pulled, and we have to teach our kids what the consequences are.
Audrey, you know, I'm sitting here, and again, we're talking about being civilized. We recognize that over time, we're supposed to enact laws that help us to be safer and to live safer, and to create an environment that suggest that we want to live in a more peaceful manner. We go across the world trying to reduce nuclear weapons, but yet domestically we increase the number of weapons. People are being killed at a rate greater than any war we've ever had. So therefore, how can we say that we're civilized?
Well, we say it because of the fact that we are people that think that our way is the only way and we're right. And sometimes we miscalculate really what truth is. But yet, because we said as a nation, the United States have always been known to try to implement their ways on other countries. And it goes back years and really centuries. So that's the reason. It's not saying that it's logical, James, and not saying that it's correct. But because of the culture in which sometimes certain ethnic groups believe that their way is the right way and the only way, they justify it within their minds and just make it truth.
Well, it's very difficult for me as a person who I believe that I have a certain level of intelligence to recognize or to see countries like England who police officers don't have any weapons when they're patrolling, and to see a country like Australia who at one point recognized that they had trouble with their gun ownership, and they put in place laws that have restricted gun ownership, and now that the rate of death is so low that you can put a number of countries combined and we still have a higher death rate in terms of gun violence than they do, seems to me to send a message that we're doing something wrong, and you cannot refute the numbers. Cheryl, I mean, how can you refute the fact that you got other countries who are living in safer environments than we are and don't have the same issues that we have related to guns? You don't see people killing themselves at the same rate in Canada and England and Australia as we do.
Well, I guess we're not, and when I say we, I guess on a larger scale, are not comparing ourselves and to finding out what is it that they're doing that's working opposed to what it is that we're doing. We're not trying to find out those answers. And just like everybody else was saying, it's what happens in the home, what's taught, and they may have more value of a human life. You know, I guess I haven't read a poll to find out what's the statistics as far as what are they doing that it is more safer in other countries when it comes to gun violence compared to what are we doing here to find out what are the differences, you know, whether they're being taught about guns when they purchase it, you know, what are the requirements. So I guess we have to dig a whole lot deeper than what we see in the numbers. We got to find out, you know, what is it that they're doing. You know, a lot of times when we see somebody getting results that we want, then we want to find out what are they doing to get these results that we're not doing. And until we find another solution or a better solution than what's going on now, it's going to continue being what it is now. And, you know, just like everybody keeps saying, it starts within the home. It starts with, you know, teaching. And if an adult bring a gun into the house and don't even talk to the children about it, that means it's nothing is being taught in the home about the gun and about the safetyness of the gun. Just like somebody mentioned, you know, they had a gun in their house growing up, and and they were told, and they knew not to touch that gun. But today, our kids, the society is so much different than what it was before. You know, we are so lax in so many different areas that different things that were enforced and taught in the homes, you know, back then, is not taught. You know, they don't even think about it. You know, they'll say, I never even thought about it. So we got to find out where are we lax at, and that's contributing to the gun violence, in order to be able to improve it in any area.
All right, we're going to take our second break and come back and continue our conversation related to how do we reach the point where we appreciate and understand the value of life and look to reduce these numbers instead of continue to tolerate them.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintained her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. The destination of one's life is not determined by where they are, but by where their heart is determined to go. It is important to look past the present and dream about your future. The value of your internal spirit remains the same throughout your life. Once you take your first breath, the measure of your future is unlimited. You only need to take one positive step after the other to get out of your present situation. Always know that there is a helping hand prepared to assist you along the way. Keep your head and your eyes facing forward to see the hearts of those ahead of you. The path they suggest will always be better than the issues that are behind you. The Creator that protects us all will never move from where you last left Him. He is patiently waiting for your return. God invested in you from the outset. And now it is time for your value to rise. Don't doubt that which has been there from the beginning, your ability to turn your dreams into reality. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, the radio show where your voice needs to be heard. The show is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. Please visit my website, jamestdeshaies2.com. That's jamestdeshaies2.com. Also consider purchasing both my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. They can be purchased at my website or at lulu.com. That's LULU.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Call in every day at 657-383-0309.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're constantly talking about the value of our children and how much we should love them and give them direction. But yet we are not trying to promote a safer environment for them as a whole. We keep saying that the reason why we need guns are because we are at the mercy of criminals, but yet we're not doing anything to deter or change that dynamic that we said we are so afraid of. So how is it that year after year we talk about we want more guns to make us safer, but yet we don't do anything about the criminal environment that creates the uneasiness that we exist in that allow us to accept the deaths of 30,000 people a year? How did that all come together, Audrey? If you say there's something you're afraid of, but yet you don't do anything about that fear, but promote having the weapons created to constitute the violence that keeps getting these people killed. It seems like a cycle that will never repair itself.
I think you're exactly right. It will not repair itself unless a change is made. And then we have to just, I think our question is, and has been for this hour, is, you know, well, what will it take to make that change? Because like you said, logically, it doesn't connect. But I want to go back to the question you asked, why can't we allow the numbers to help us to make that change? Or you might have just said, you know, well, the numbers don't lie. But, you know, it's not that the numbers don't speak correctly. It's how they're interpreted. And then people can put a spin on numbers any way they want to. They'll even go as far as to say those are fake numbers. So that's part of the struggle that we deal with.
Kathy, you know, you live in a major state, but yet it's interesting how people don't, you know, they talk about Los Angeles, but the truth is that there are plenty of states they talk about more, like Chicago and Detroit and Atlanta and Miami. How is it that somehow or another the talk about what's going on in Los Angeles and in California has been reduced, and other cities seem to be in the headlines?
Again, James, I am not familiar with any of this. It's foreign language to me. I am receiving a wealth of knowledge from your co-host, and I am happy because I'm taking notes on all the things that I am hearing and listening about, and unfortunately, I can't comment because I have no knowledge on any of that. Sorry.
Well, let me ask you a question that you might have a little knowledge on. I mean, you've lived in California for quite a while, and we on the outside only hear about the kinds of things that happen. Do you feel comfortable and free to go around Compton and some of the other areas without fear, or do you find yourself having to make preparations or do things differently when you go to certain places?
No, I have no fear. I go around just like it's a regular, normal day. Each and every day is a blessing to be able to just get up and get out. But no, I don't have any fear. And most of the time when people talk, and even on the news, they talk about how bad Compton is. But, I mean, every state has certain parts of their community where they say that it's bad and it's rough and you got to be careful. Watch out. But no, I don't. I really don't.
And I understand, you know, I hear you. Even in Orlando, we have areas that are rougher than others. But you seem to find a way to go on with your daily life without accepting or bringing those fears into your psyche on a regular basis. Audrey, what about you? You do a lot of traveling as a woman alone, and you don't seem to allow it to does it play a part in your mind? It doesn't seem to slow you up, or are you just immune to it?
Well, I would hope that I'm not immune to it. I would hope that I am aware of my surroundings. And Kathy is correct. You know, every community has challenges, and it behooves us to make sure that when we are in a new environment or an environment in which we're not familiar, we heighten our awareness of our surroundings. and we take precautions to protect ourselves. So we are not to live in fear, but we are to utilize the brain that the Lord has given us to make sure that we take extra precaution to protect ourselves.
Joyce, you know, we're all from different places. Well, how do you deal with the realization that there are people around in your area who are careless or who are criminals, and how does that impact you as you go about your doing, you know, the things that you want to do in your life?
Well, I'm always aware, or at least try to be aware of my environment and the surroundings that goes on. Since the election and since certain things that had happened in my community as far as feeling about Trump and everything, I look at things differently now. I'm more aware of what's going on in my environment, and I'm more alert. You know, I used to just kind of go through the motions, but now I'm always familiar with my surroundings, cars that's going on the same street when I'm walking my dog. Plus, our community has what they call a newsletter that one of the retirees they so kindly put out every Sunday. And a part of that, he let us know what's going on on the state level, local level, and he also let us know of people that are the sex offenders that could be in the neighborhood, any break-ins or whatever. We get that in an email format every week. So the community is very aware now of what's going on, and you just live in a society and a day where you just need to be more alert. It's just certain things I do now that I do differently. I don't take the same path when I'm walking my dog every day. I switch it up a little bit, and I wouldn't have never done that before, but now I do it, you know, just to be, you know, I don't want to be too much of a routine that someone knows me that much of a routine where I can get hurt. I go at different times, different directions. So I'm just more aware now of, as you get older, you tend to be that way, I think. You know that you're not visible, so the older you get, the more alert, I guess, you are, and the more aware, at least that's what I feel in my case. Thank you.
Cheryl, what about you in Louisiana? How do you deal with the possibility of criminal behavior, dealing with what some people might consider a violent society?
I guess with me, growing up in New Orleans, I've always been aware because we've always had things to happen, especially where I, you know, the area where I grew up at. So my awareness has always been there, and I'm always cautious. I'm not afraid, but I don't do anything to put myself in any kind of jeopardy. And I just pay attention to what's going on around me. I don't, you know, just assume. And I also take precautions on the different things that I do here that is possible that comes up. You know, I know we think that social media has a lot of bad, but it also has a lot of good because it also tells us about things that people put into play that, you know, we would never think nothing about it, about how people would give out perfume samples on cardboards or, you know, any of those little things. Because, you know, because we don't think like that, we don't we don't normally think about it. So when it presents itself to us on social media, you know, I'm just cautious. I think twice about putting myself in a harmful situation. Even when I go to the bank, I turn that little thing at the bank, you know, because of just being cautious of having my card to be where somebody can actually be scanning my card. So I always do those things. I don't, you know, try to go to the bank at nighttime. I'm just cautious, but I'm not afraid because, like I said, I grew up in an area where there was, you know, violence, and there's always people that I knew there and still know, they got your back. They're going to be looking out for you. So I grew up in a neighborhood where people looked out for each other. And I mean, I feel okay, you know, being there where I'm at here in the country. I mean, there's nothing really going on. But I am still careful because although I live in a predominantly white area and being the only blacks on the street, you know, and knowing what this street was before, you know, and probably still is, because I've really had the opportunity of people who speak to me and engage in conversations. I've had the opportunity to hear them rant on social media when it came to President Obama. And one lady was like, you know, I can kill all y'all for putting Trump through the things that, you know, she feel like people are putting him through and why we can't respect him. But I wouldn't have never known. So I'm enlightening, and I'm always cautious, and I'm always cautious about the conversation. I mean, I don't hold politics conversation with anyone. I mean, this is the most that I've talked about politics is on this platform, and that's for real. Nobody don't know anything as far as how I'm feeling when it comes to politics for the simple reason you don't know who you're talking to. And, I mean, that's just being honest. And I know where I'm at right now in this area, although I, you know, am cautious, I just really didn't think that a lot of them felt the way they did. And, I mean, I conversate with them, you know, often. So, and they didn't rant to me. They ran on social media. But, like I said, I don't get into those conversations, you know, with people. I stay at a certain level. I mean, I'm just nice to everybody. I mean, I do a lot of Bible teaching in, you know, my community, and I try to live without, you know, by the word, and people see that in me. So they don't get that far into, you know, certain things with me. So I'm pretty, I'm okay.
Well, you know, it's important for us to recognize and know how to exist in the world that we're in. I'm going to take another short break, and then we'll come back and give everyone an opportunity to have their final word.
I will be the one.
Change the quality of life and increase your cash flow, please call 407-459-4827 in order to find out more information about how you can change the quality of your life and increase your cash flow. All right, Cheryl, what is your final statement for this evening?
Well, again, I enjoyed the conversation. I learned a lot, and as I continue to say, we still have to do more. Whatever we're doing, we still have to do more.
Kathy, your final thought for this evening?
I want to thank my superhero sisters for that wealth of information that they shared. It was an eye-opener for me. And Joyce, you are on it, girl. I am so proud of you. You're just on it. And that's it.
All right. Joyce, your final thought?
I love you guys so much. You guys really make me feel good. I'm serious, Kathy. Thank you. It's so uplifting to know, because a lot of times when I speak, it's just, I don't know whether or not I'm on point or not, but this is how I kind of look at stuff and how I deal with realistic. Bottom line is that we still got to teach and talk to our kids, and particularly within our household. We got to do a lot of talking. Put the cell phone down, cut the TV off at a certain time, just do group meetings and just bounce things off. This way you know where your kids are, where your mind is, with your spouse, with your family. We just got to do a lot more teaching within our homes. We cannot depend on the government to do what's right, the court system to do what's right, because they won't do it. Believe me, they won't do what's right. So we got to do a lot of talking, keep each other strong, and communicate within our home. Very much so. Thank you.
All right, Andre, your final thought.
Keep the communication lines open. Make sure we're aware of our surroundings. And let's continue to work together, pull together, and allow the Lord to lead and guide us.
All right. Today is Wednesday, and certainly we have two additional days where we will be on at 6 o'clock. We have an outstanding speaker that we're going to have on Friday. So I want to ask all of you to try to make sure you're able to be here on Friday. We have a speaker coming to us out of California, and I look forward to him being here. I also want to say to you guys that you missed a great show yesterday, and a lot of information was divulged related to how do we deal with the fact that a lot of people say that Christians are boring and that they don't have romance in their lives and they don't show a lot of passion. And so we dealt with that issue. So now we could have used all of you ladies who are here with us this evening in that conversation yesterday, but you all were here. Hopefully when we tackle that subject again. You all will be in place, and we look forward to you adding your opinion. Regina was here, and a young lady named Gretchen, who was a co-host, was here, and the rest of it was Dee and Tyrone and myself. But we tried to hold things down. But we could have used some of the insight that you ladies bring to the table. So it would have been a very welcome thing to have you all in place. But we understand that everybody can't be in the same place at the same time all the time. So we look forward to dealing with that issue again so that we can have your input, because nothing really got solved much, but everybody had their own thoughts and opinions related to the topic. So we look forward to having you here tomorrow, and we definitely like to have you here Friday. And so, as always, we say that Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a place where your voice is guaranteed to be heard loud and clear without interruption. Talk to you guys later. Make sure you're in place on Friday, and hope to see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time at 3 o'clock West Coast Time at Thoughts, Love, and Reflections.
Every time we hear the music and feel this love together, we got the time that lasts forever. We're in this love together, and like berries on the vine, it gets sweeter all the time.
Hmm.